Lord, everybody. God is so good, worthy of all praise. My goodness, my goodness. I feel like I'm coming home when I come over here. I'm so honored to be here with you again today. And I feel like I've heard from the Lord, and I don't want to just preach to you. I want to minister to you. And Brother Crosswhite is so very, very right. There's things going on in the world we need to pray about. I saw a little advertisement that said the employees of Starbucks has joined themselves to the Hamas against Israel. And you know what? That's a dangerous thing when you start turning against God's people. I've told a number of people, if you want to make a parent mad, start bothering their kids. And if you want to make God mad, you start messing with his kids. And he pointed at point blank, said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And he will. I'm old enough, I still remember what we refer to as the 67 war. A lot of you are not old enough to know what I'm talking about, but that's when Egypt and Israel got into it. And even the Egyptians said it seemed like they had somebody fighting for them. Well, they did. Guess what? Wake up, world. Israel is God's chosen people. And God still is on their side. I told my wife the other day, I said, I wish the Lord would sound the trumpet, just get us out of here. And she looked at me and said, why do you say that? I said, everything that's going on, wouldn't it be nice? You see these clouds sometimes with the sun shining through them, and wouldn't it be nice if he'd just step out there and blow that trumpet and say, come on, kids. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Well, I don't want to keep you standing up too long. Brother, Sister Dorothy, I was her pastor for a number of years, and they live in Arkansas now. People that I know, we've always made a joke about those hills of Arkansas, those cattle that walk around. You know, two of their legs are so much longer than the other one because they walk like this all the time. That's not really true, but makes a nice, funny story. I want to go into the Word of the Lord, and I want you to know that I am so honored, but I feel like I've heard from the Lord, and I want to minister to you. I'm going into the Word of the Lord, Mark chapter number 5 and beginning, and I'm not going to bring anything that's new to you because there is nothing new, really. But it is a familiar scripture, but I want to show you something that God began to deal with me about not very long ago concerning the scriptures that I'm going to read. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Verse number 15 of that same chapter. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Turning over to Luke chapter number 15 and beginning at verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Verse number 22 of that same chapter. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. One more scripture in Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse number 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, which means surely, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Lord, I love you from the depths of my soul. And once again asking you, touch the lips of your servant, and let it be not me, Lord, but would you speak and preach through me, and bless this wonderful people, I pray. To you be honor and praise and all glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless the reading and the ministry of his word. You may be seated. And with the help of the Lord, just for a little while, I would like to preach to you this morning from this thought or this subject, mercy on display. I think most of us realize, or we think we know what mercy is. And display simply means you get it out where people can see it. I've read that mercy is the power, and it's also the ability to either be kind or to forgive somebody that has done you wrong. May I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, today, if it weren't for not God's mercy, there would not be a one of us that would have any need to be sitting in the house of the Lord today. You say, I got in the church. You got in the church because the mercy of the Lord brought you in. You didn't just decide, I'm going to be a Christian. It was the mercy of God. And may I say today, I feel the need to say this. If there's somebody here that feels like you've gone too far, listen to the ones that I want to preach to you about. You have not gone too far to get away from the mercy of the Lord. Oh, mercy. I thought about the demonic man. And you think with me, when it describes him, that could be 2023, an article in our paper, the man, because if that were to appear in our paper today, we would say, well, it's just somebody that got too high on some kind of drug and they're strung out. But that was in the Bible. But can I suggest to you today, may I say to you rather, that he was not too far out for the Lord to go out of his way to save a dope head or a drug addict. Nobody could do anything with him. In fact, they had written him off. They had left him out on his own. You may be one that somebody has written you off, but I've come to tell you, the mercy of God is on display, and it's here for you today. Oh, it is amazing. You know, I've known people that have been to rehab, and they've been to rehab, and they've been to rehab. And if we're not careful, we reach a place where sometimes We get so frustrated and aggravated. We think, man, just let them go. Let them live in the mess they've made for themselves. My daddy used to say, you make your bed hard, you gotta lay in it. And you and I as humans, we may feel that way about, but stop and think for a minute. If that were you, your son, if that was your daughter, but let me tell you, no matter who it is, the mercy of the Lord of glory reached out to a man that could do nothing for himself. Can I tell you, that song is so true. He came down to my level when I couldn't get up to him. The Lord came down and picked me up. Mercy is on display. And even after we're in the church, we still need mercy. You know, I told my wife, I believe this morning, I said, I wish I knew another word better than thank you. But surely the Lord understands. He hears that so much from me. You, and if you're here this morning, and I've heard people say this. In fact, when we got in the UPC, we thought we had found the perfect church. We could find nothing wrong with anybody in that church for the first 6 months we was in it. God literally blinded us. And then it opened our eyes and we realized we're all human. Not a one of us here today is perfect. You still have flaws. You still have warts. There are times you say, I don't need to. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care who you are, what your position is, how long you've been in the church. There are times we still need the mercy of God because we can't help ourselves. We fail, we stumble, we mess up. But oh my God, the mercy of God comes out and God says, it's all right. Oh, and I've known people who had to get tough with their own kids and say, I won't do it anymore. I've got a friend, and they've got kids, and this friend, his oldest, was in and out of jail so many times until he finally told her, he said, I'm not bailing you out anymore. And he didn't, and she got so angry with him. But eventually she got over it, and that's us. But aren't you glad that God don't say, I'm not bailing you out anymore? You know, there are times that people do, especially married spouses, one of them will do the other one wrong in such a way that that one will say, I'm not going to take you back. I'm not going to forgive you. But oh, I've never gone to an altar when God says, not this time. But I've always experienced the mercy of God when I needed it. I've always found he never fell out of love with me. I've never found a time that he said, I'm not going to help you. Ladies and gentlemen, the mercy of God is on display this very day for you. So that man, I can see him. You know, I have known these young people. I do not understand it, that they cut themselves. Some of them have scars. And we prayed one young man through that he had scars in his arms where he said, Brother Schubert, he said, for the last year, at least 3 times a week, I've done the hard stuff. And he had scars on his arm where he would give himself shots. but I found the night he found an altar. And by the way, he was one of our preacher's kids that had gone astray. It does not make any difference who you are, what your status in life is. The devil is after every one of us. But I've come to tell you, when this young man found an altar, he didn't find rejection. He didn't find, I don't care. He didn't find, I don't want you. He found mercy, and God forgave him, and God delivered him from those hard drugs. I've come to tell somebody, mercy is on display for you to see it, and not only see, but to experience it in your own life. Oh, this man, you know, there was such a drastic change in him that the people, it scared him. The young man that I just mentioned, even his drug popping buddies didn't recognize him. He went to the door of the couple that he did the drugs with all the time. The next afternoon, after God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and the young lady, we knew her from the time she was just a little kid, but she looked at him and she called his name and said, "Yes, what do you want?" And he looked at her and he said, "Kathy, it's me, I'm Keith." And she looked at him and said, "My God, Keith, what do you got a hold of this time?" She thought he had got some kind of another drug. And he was high on it. He said, "I'm not high on a drug." He could say, like Peter said, "These are not drunk on wine, as ye suppose." We can say sometimes, "I'm not high on some of the drug. I haven't got a hold of anything, but I have got that Joel spoke about. I have been filled with the Holy Ghost, because when I cried out to the Lord, I was not rejected. I found mercy." So they found him sitting in clothed, and notice this, and in his right mind. That lets you know right there that some things you don't need. I've seen people, I've never dealt with them really when they were on drugs, but I've dealt with a number of drunks, and a lot of times the next morning they don't know what they did or where they were or who they were with. They lose it. I've never been drunk on alcohol. I always kind of felt like I want to know where I'm at and what I'm doing. I don't want to wake up in the morning. I saw a cartoon one time, and this guy went in a bar, and some of you might know Andy Capp, the cartoon. And he asked the bartender, said, "Was I in here last night?" And he said, "Yeah." And he thought a minute, and he said, "Did I have fun?" Let me tell you, I want to know if I had fun. But I want it to be fun that I'm not ashamed of the next day. That I can look everybody in the eye and everything's still all right. When I worked at the plant, I saw a number of men would come to work on Monday morning, and they would hold their head like this, and they would say it, and then a lot of them said it a lot of times, "Never again." And the next Friday night, you see, this is the way the devil works. He wants to get his hooks in you. And the next weekend, they would go back and do the same thing again, because the devil had a hold. But I've come to tell somebody, it does not matter how strong a hold the devil's got, God's mercy can break that hold, and you can be free by the blood of the Lamb of God. God does not reject, but he exhibits mercy. You know, If I had a son like the prodigal, forgive me, because I'm probably wrong, but I think I'd tell him, you can go, but not with any money. You know, I mean, it's pretty brazen when one of your kids says, come give me my inheritance now. What if your daddy loses everything before it's his time to get it? But he went to his daddy and said, give me what I got coming now. Now, strike this from the record about what I'm about to say. I'm daddy, please understand. Mama, get me my belt, because I'm fixed to give him what he needs. But the daddy obviously gave him quite a bit of sum, and off he went. But the amazing thing about it, daddy never quit looking for him. That, my friend, is mercy. You say, I would have done such and such. Yeah, we feel that way, but we wasn't the daddy. And the daddy never quit. How do you know he never quit? Because he saw him a long ways off when that boy came back. I had a friend, he died a few years ago. He's younger, quite a bit younger than me. But he was a preacher's kid, my pastor's kid years ago. And I told his daddy one day, I said, Galen has done really good, hadn't he? And he said, yeah, but he said, looked like he had to go to the bottom before he realized he needed God. I cannot imagine Galen ever being in the pit, but his daddy said he went down. But let me tell you, when he came back to God, he came out of the pit like the prodigal son. He didn't find, I don't want you anymore. He didn't find, not this time, buddy. He found a God that exhibited mercy. And can I tell somebody today, that mercy is still on display, and that mercy is available for you today. It's amazing. Oh my. If you read that article, that in the Bible, the older brother didn't feel like daddy did. But I want to tell you something. Please understand today, when a backslider comes back to God, you've been in the church all the time and you've enjoyed the blessings. They've been out yonder. And when you leave the church, you get out from under the umbrella of God's blessings. You hear me? There are blessings by being in the church. And a lot of times we don't realize it, but those out yonder, those backsliders, they're not being blessed like we are that's in the church. My wife is sitting here this morning with a wrist that's broken, and her right foot, her left wrist and right foot is broken. You say, preacher, that's bad. Well, it's not good, but compare what it could have been. I told her, I said, babe, she fell backwards and broke her wrist. And I said, my Lord God, have mercy. You could have been in the hospital or worse, in the funeral home. So God took care of all you. You say, but she's got a broke wrist. I could be a widower today, or I could be sitting in the hospital. I am blessed by being in the church. We've had people call and come by, and Brother and Sister Crosswhite brought us a meal, and another preacher offered to fix a meal and bring it. We're doing fine. You say, preacher, my God, that's bad, but what could it have been? I am blessed because I'm in the church. So thank you to every one of you, and thank you especially to Pastor and Sister Crosswhite. But the older brother, he didn't like the fact that his brother had come back. I understand that because I'm human. And you probably understand it too. He's gone off and blown all of his money. Now he's got nothing. Now he comes back. You know, sometimes backsliders leave. They look good when they go out, but when they come back, they look horrible. I mean, they're down. They're a mess. You know what? God's a master at cleaning up messes. I would venture to say that probably one or two sitting here that used to be a mess. You see it all the time in that jail. But some of them actually get out and they live for God. It's amazing. We like seeing those old homes that are so run down, and somebody will buy them and totally restore them. If you look around, you over here, look all the way over here, and you here, and you in the middle, look at both sides, you'll see some restoration pictures. Because some of our folks right here, God made them over. Go ahead and give them a hand, praise. We came out of the hog pen. We probably smell bad. We look bad. We were bad. But when we got up from the altar like Keith the next day, nobody knew who we were. God made such a change in our life. The prodigal came home. Mercy, mercy, mercy found you when you knelt at an altar. I don't know about you, but I am so very, 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 very thankful for mercy. I have been, I think you could call it blessed, honored, and privileged that I have saved a few marriages by talking to people and by getting them to understand he or she, whichever the case, they messed up big time. But they're back now saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I blew it. And in some cases, not all of them, but in some cases, I have been able to talk that individual into giving them another chance. And they took advantage of that other opportunity. And they made a good husband and or a good wife to them, because they realize, you know what, most of us, when we find an altar, we realize, God, I messed up. I've blown it. Even after we're in the church sometimes, we've got to find a place and say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I've messed up again, Lord. Never one time have I found God like the older brother and said, I don't want him back. I imagine sometimes the angel body said, God, are you going to take him back again? And in his love and in his mercy, God said, yes, I'm going to give him another chance. Mercy on display. It's amazing. I remember a young man prayed through in one of our revivals, 21 years old. He was a scroungy looking guy. He was a woolly booger. He prayed through one night. And the very next night, he was in church on the front row. And my wife said, who is that guy sitting up there? I said, where? And she said, that one up there on the front row. And I said, babe, that's the guy that prayed through last night. She said, you got to be kidding. I mean, let's face it, folks, we look different once we're in the church than we did out yonder. I had a man ask me one time, said, what happened? What do you mean? You're different. Yeah, thank God for the difference. Can I say one other thing? Thank God I'm different as a man, and thank God my wife is still a woman. You know, it's amazing. I cannot figure. Brethren, I hope there's not a one of you here that wants to be your woman. If you do, you need prayer bad. And I hope there ain't a one of you ladies that wants to be a man. Never lower yourself to our level. You are above us. You're our jewel. You're our precious price. Priceless jewel. We esteem you highly. So Dr. Cagle told me that one time. He said, don't ever lower yourself to our standards. He said, you're a preacher. You got a calling that's far higher than we do. Ladies, you've got a calling that cannot go any higher, I don't think. You are special, so don't ever lower yourself to be a man. I haven't seen many pretty men, but I've seen a lot of pretty women. Well, forgive me. Let's face it, if you see a pretty man, I did know a man one time. Of course, he was in a rock and roll band, and he had hair. I told my wife, I said, women would give their left arm to have hair like that. That hair was pretty, but he wasn't. And if you thought, and I thought he was, you'd probably think, Brother Schubert, there's something wrong somewhere. You'd be right. But the prodigal son, when he came back. Now, is anybody in here raises hogs? No, all right. A lot of you don't know they stink. I mean, a hog pen stinks, but they taste good after you really clean them up. You know what? The prodigal son looked good after God cleaned him up. And I'll guarantee you, I'm looking at some people today that look good, but you didn't used to look that good. My God, that makes me feel good. Makes me want to shout, because as the song said, you ought to have seen me before God got through with me. I've seen a couple of those pictures where a homeless man on the street, I mean, looked like he didn't know what soap and water was. And somebody took him in, gave him a haircut, gave him a shave, allowed him to get a bath, and then gave him a mirror. And I've seen him look and say, wow. And it really was wow. Can I tell somebody, after God got through with me, it was wow. You know why? Because I found mercy. I didn't find rejection. I didn't find do not come back. I didn't find I don't want to see you anymore. I found, son, you're welcome back. I'm glad to have you in the family again. One more, I've got to hurry. The thief on the cross. You have, in the first two, you have found mercy on display. Let me really get to the crux of the matter. The thief, he admitted to his compadre, to his friend, we're guilty, we've done this. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I can speak for almost everybody in here. When we're hurting really bad, we ain't worried about you. And you think of the agony that the Lord had already gone through. Folks, I'm telling you, the crucifixion, we a lot of times we beautify it and we make it look good. I'm so grateful for it, but it never looked good, and it was not good. You think of that, the stripes on his back and the crown of thorns on his head. Now, they didn't just barely set it on the peak of his head. They took that thing. Now, how do you know that? I don't know this, but I know what they did, and invariably that's the way it was. They took that thing and they jammed it down with the thorn. And the stripes on his back. And there he was. He already had the nails in his feet and in his hands. And a thief, He said, I'm guilty. We've done this. But he said, this man hadn't done anything. Pastor, he looked over at the Lord and said, Lord, remember me. Now, my feelings, and most humans would say, man, I can't be bothered with you now. I'm hurting too bad. But the Lord, thank God for mercy. He looked over and said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. A man guilty of thievery. A man who was as guilty as you could get, and a man who admitted, I'm getting what I deserve. What he deserved was punishment. What he got was mercy. You think about it. What? Think for just a minute. What would I have done in that situation? Most of us, we wouldn't have worried about that man and his predicament, because the Lord had to be. You say, how do you know he was hurting? He was God in the flesh. He was a man like we are. And he felt, sometimes I think about, he was tempted like I am. And it's hard for me to understand and get it through my thick head. But the Bible says it, so I believe it. He was tempted in all points like we are. When you're really in the valley of decision and the devil is working on you in your mind, remember the Lord went through things like that also, and he did it without sin. And if the Lord made it, you can too, because he understands and he's going to be there to help you. And the thief, you know, we don't even know what happened to the other one. Doesn't record anything after this. I'm preaching to you about mercy on display. You know, sometimes we say things like, I'd like to see a miracle. Anybody in here, would you like to see a miracle? Look around at somebody that you feel like is a real Christian, and you're looking at the greatest miracle of all. Because we couldn't do it. We couldn't save ourselves. I know Peter said, save yourselves. He meant you do what you can and God will take care of what you cannot do. That's the only way we can be saved. I can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for me. Pastor can't be saved for anybody. We're human, but we can save ourselves by repenting, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and being filled with his Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. So stand with me right now, if you will. And let me mention once again to you, the thief on the cross, the demonic man, the prodigal son. I have preached in your hearing this morning of three men. They didn't get what they deserved. They deserved judgment, but they experienced mercy. There's somebody has preached a message, I understand, one time. Judgment called, but mercy answered. Where would you and where would I be today had it not been for the mercy of God? I will almost guarantee you that at least 90% of wouldn't be here in church had it not been for the mercy of God. You say, I got in the church when I was just a kid. We were born sinners, and we all had to repent, had to experience God's plan of salvation. And thank God, no matter what age we were. We were preaching a revival years ago down the country. And this elderly lady in her 80s, prayed through. She said, I've been out of church for over 40 years. And she said, it's so hard to get back. But the pastor of the church, we said, you can do it. You can do it. 40 years and now in her 80s. But you know what? When she went to an altar, God didn't say, you've been out 40 years. Come again some of the times. God showed her mercy and filled her once again with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're here today and you're not in church like you ought to be. Mercy is waiting on you to respond to Him. So would you come around the altars? And if you're not where you need to be with the Lord, if you're backslid, if you're just cold, or if you're not anywhere close to being in the church, why don't you come on today and experience that we call mercy. Mercy is on display. You've seen the results and you've seen the effects of it, what it can do. And the God of long suffering and the God of mercy is reaching for you today. So would you come and allow God to minister you today?
The beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love. That's the beauty of the blood, the goodness of His grace, the mercy undeserved that can never be explained.
Would you thank God for His grace and mercy today? Spoken heart to heart with the Master. Oh, He didn't have to. He didn't have to, but He loves us. Thank the Lord for His great blood and great mercy today. Thank You, Jesus. God, I thank You for what You've done for us. God, You've given me the best. Thank You for Your grace and power, Jesus. You thank God for that blood that still washes and cleanses. the master's side. Taken for granted in our nation, we do not understand, because we have given to such liberty and freedom, such pleasure, such riches, such opportunity. But at the same time, while we're given with such of the best, we're drifting morally. Our hearts are so going downstream in America. This country situation, the country situation at hand, the conditions of people's lifestyle. Man is in need of the Almighty God. The people have lost that place where they're grateful for what God's done for them. They've lost that reality. They've lost that honor, reverence to the Almighty God. Until you've been set free, if you was that one that remembered the pain and the agony and the price of liberty, liberty's cheap to you. Freedom is just cheap. Until you that one that knows what it's like every day to wake up with something screaming in you, you have to have a drink, have to have another fix, have to have something else. You're addicted and hooked, bound, and a slave. Or maybe somebody imposed something to you. You was innocent. And you, every day you wake up and it's in your brain and it's screaming. And you have to deal with that stress and that anxiety of somebody violating your life. But when the Holy God of heaven walks in and God sets you free, how beautiful it is, amen, when the door is open. You could stay in your cage with the door open and still be an inmate to that cage. Or you could walk through, amen, and enjoy the beauty of the Almighty God, the glory of the liberty of His Spirit. Amen. God wants you to know that today. It's more than religion. It's more than just church going. God wants you to live in liberty. And I felt the day when Brother Schubert was talking, somebody needs to get out of that cage, step out of that door, amen, and live in the liberty of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Mercy's on display today. Amen. I want you to pray with us right now in this place. Amen. Come on, we'll never have mercy again one day. Amen. God's work will be complete. Either you're going to live in what God's done, the work of God. Amen. After time is done, amen, there's going to be people that will regret for eternity. Amen. They did not walk through and accept the mercy of God. Amen. Would you pray with me right now? Lift your heart to God. Amen. In this building, somebody thank the Lord for mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for your goodness and your power.